The best thing in life is when you make a discovery. You hear a voice on the radio, you hear a band in a club, and you say, I found this. You weren't told by someone. It wasn't directed towards you. You made the discovery. And for me, I found Johnny Mathis. I was 14 years old. I was with my mom and dad. We were in my dad's 65 blue Ford Falcon station wagon. That gives you an idea of how affluent he was. We're going down Columbia Avenue in Newport, Kentucky. I remember that because it's brick and you get to hear the rumbling. And the radio was on, and this was around 1967 or 1968. And I'll never forget hearing the song, I Say a Little Prayer for You, and it was sung so beautifully, I asked my mom, who is that singer? And my mother answered with the enthusiasm that only a parent can give you. Oh, that's Johnny Mathis. He's been around for years. You know, you think that my parents would appreciate the fact that I was showing a little interest in something other than the Beatles or rock and roll, but no, it didn't matter to them. Anyhow, that's the first song I heard by Johnny Mathis. And it's very strange in life sometimes how things come together, because we had just recently got our first record player, and I thought, I would like to get that record of I Say a Little Prayer for You. I had just joined the Columbia Record Club. For those of you who remember, you get 14 records for $1. And I discovered that Johnny Mathis album that had that particular song on it. Now that we had this record player, it was time to buy some records. And I went into a place in Newport, Kentucky called the C&D Record Bar. This had an old sign out front. The sign advertised Decca Records. And it said the C&D Record Bar. It was about a half a block long, just crammed with single records, albums, and all along one wall was nothing but Johnny Mathis records. I had never heard of this guy before. Where did he come from? The gentleman that ran that record bar was named Charlie, and Charlie is a wonderful man who I have many wonderful memories. He was a middle-aged guy. He was such a great guy to all the kids that would come in. The kids would come in and they'd want a Beatle record or they'd want a Rolling Stones record, and he would put the 45 on so they could listen. And for those of us that got to know him, what a wonderful man he was. I'd walk in and say, Jeff, there's a new Johnny Mathis album out. Like a geeky little kid, I'd stand there and go, oh, boy. Gee, I don't have the money to pay for this today. He'd say, take it and pay me back in a week or however long it takes you to pay it. And that trust in a kid really makes you feel like this life is worth living. I'll never forget the first time I went to see Johnny Mathis in person. I didn't even know that you could see people like this. We came from such a poor family. I read in the paper, Johnny Mathis with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra at Music Hall. I had my dad take me, as a matter of fact. What a knockout concert that was. I mean, this was just like the revelation of a whole new world to me. So through the years, I have seen Johnny Mathis perform in person maybe 30 times. I have every album Johnny ever made. He's done about 80 albums, and there's been about 25 compilations, so I have quite a collection, also a collection of singles. And at one time, Johnny was the third biggest album seller of all time. You see, people would talk about Elvis, people would talk about the Beatles, but Johnny was number three. While they made all the noise, he quietly was getting the job done. I think he's number four or five now. He's still making albums. I just recently purchased his new CD, and the man is singing as wonderful as ever. I have tried to meet Johnny Mathis many, many times and finally achieved that goal when he was appearing at Caesar's Palace. Not only did I get to meet Mr. Mathis, but I had my family with me, my wife, my two daughters, and my son. And of course, they grew up in the house hearing Johnny all the time. They were pretty excited about this too. And I want to tell you, this just was not a shake your hand goodbye, shake your hand thank you, shake your hand autograph. Hey, he brought us right into his suite, offered us drinks, food. We got to sit around and chat. It was like a dream come true. So I was asking him a lot of questions about his career, and any real fan will enjoy this. I've worked with many, many singers, and I'm sure you, as a fan of music, you've gone to a concert to hear your favorite artist or your favorite group, and they don't do the big hits. They won't do the hits. And then later they'll be talking about this and they'll say, well, those are old, or I don't like doing that, or it dates me, or whatever. Johnny Mathis always does. Chances are it's not for me to say, wonderful, wonderful, misty, wild as the wind. And he's always changing his show, which is great to me and other music, but he always does those songs. And I said, do you enjoy doing those songs? And he said, oh, yes, yes, I do. He said, first of all, those are my hits and the audience comes to hear them. Second of all, they're beautiful songs and I love to sing them. And he said, you know, it really is my musical legacy and it's part of my life, so I have to do them. And I was so glad to hear him say that. I just get so disappointed by people that always go, oh, that's old, I don't do that anymore. No, it's part of your life and it's there and it's always, always happening. I must say that we spent 2.5 hours with Johnny Mathis and really overstayed our welcome, but he was a very gracious, wonderful host. About 2 months later, I'm at the airport in Los Angeles, and lo and behold, who do I see walking towards me with a little entourage is Johnny Mathis. I said, hello, Mr. Mathis. He said, hello. And he looked at me and I looked at him and I walked over and introduced myself. And I could tell he didn't recognize me. And that's okay because entertainers meet lots and lots of people and you can't remember all these people and you have people fawning over you. You just can't remember them. But I must admit that I was just a little disappointed that he didn't remember me. But hey, I understand it and it's okay. So I start walking towards baggage claim and I'm walking down the long hallway there of the airline terminal. And suddenly there's an arm over my shoulder and it's Johnny Mathis going, Jeff, I remember you. You're the guy that came backstage with your wife and your kids. That's the kind of guy he is. I mean, who does that? Who comes over to you like that and just makes you feel so good? He could have let it go, but he didn't do it. Now, here's a Johnny Mathis story for you to let you know what kind of guy he was. I was appearing in El Paso at the Comic Strip Comedy Club, and I talk about Johnny Mathis sometime in my act. I certainly do a couple of the imitations. And after the show, a couple came over, and the husband said, I have a good Johnny Mathis story to tell you. Said a few years ago, Johnny Mathis was in town to do a concert, and I play golf at a local country club, and anybody who knows about Johnny Mathis knows he loves to play golf. And he said, so anyway, the day we went to play golf, a friend of mine and I, we were told that there was another guy that would like to play golf. And we were introduced to this gentleman. We played golf, and gosh, he said he was congenial. He was friendly. He says, we get back to the clubhouse. We're all having a drink. And he said, this guy went to make a phone call. He came back. He looked a little upset. And I said, well, what's wrong? He said, well, a car was supposed to come and pick me up and take me back to my hotel. And apparently there's been some kind of miscommunication, and the car can't make it for an hour. And I said, well, listen, where are you at? He said, I'm at the Hilton. He said, well, I just have a pickup truck, but if you want to hop in the back of it, we'll be happy to just drop you off at the Hilton. So he said he hopped in the back of the pickup truck and him and his friend drove him to the Hilton. He hopped off and he said, we made it home to shower and shave, have dinner with our wives and rush off to a concert that night. And he says, this guy gets on stage. And I said to my buddy, hey, that's the guy that rode in the back of our pickup truck today. And my wife said, you didn't know who it was? I said, I didn't know. You mean you didn't know that was Johnny Mathis? No, I didn't know it was Johnny Mathis. Did he tell you who he was? No, we didn't ask him who he was. He was just a great guy that played a great game of golf. He said it was the great surprise of their life that, of course, they had this world-famous star traveling in the back of their pickup truck, just a regular guy. And I thought that was a wonderful story. You know, when Johnny was starting out as a young man singing in 1956, the goal of every artist was to have that million-selling single. And Chuck Berry had 6 million-selling singles. Johnny Mathis had 8 million-selling singles, but more importantly, Johnny Mathis was selling albums. He had 10 million selling albums, and this is just in that 8-year frame in the late 50s and the early 60s to give you an idea of his impact on the recording industry. Of course, he has now sold platinum and every other kind of thing that you would want to think of, and he's still making these CDs. He's still sounding great. He's 62. He looks like he's 42, and all I can say is, go, Johnny, go.